Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a special Out of the Ordinary Cuckoo Crazy edition of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show. Oh, Lord. I'm Mr. Warren Hayes, and we are going to be talking about a pay-per-view, because it is a pay-per-view weekend in WWE land. Again, we just had one. Are we sure? Is there another one already? Yup. Yes, WWE Payback is happening this weekend on Sunday, when we are recording live on Saturday morning to talk about predictions. We're going to go through the card. We're going to take a look at all the good haps. What are we expecting? And most importantly, determine with pinpoint precision who is going to win every match, of course. And when I say we, this isn't like me going on a rock type tirade where I start talking to about myself in third person plural. No. I've got a colleague, I've got a pal, a chum here who is going to join in on the festivities. It is none other than Vince Delgado of the Smacked Raw podcast. Vince, good to see you. Welcome to the Mr. Warren Hayes Show.
Thank you, Warren. It's great being here on the show. It's one of those many wrestling podcastings that I can check off my bucket list now.
Oh, I'm come on. Great,
man. It's on there, man. It's on there.
You're very kind. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm really glad you're here. The funny thing here is that Vince and I ran into each other last year, last fall, at the Impact fan event for, was it Bound for Glory?
Bound for Glory.
Yes. And we ran into each other, and we're like, hey, so at least Vince can attest to the reality that I'm not a Muppet, that I do, I am flesh and blood.
Yeah, no, totally. I can totally attest, man. I vouch for you, man. I vouch for you. You got my stamp of approval, Warren.
Vince, just before we start, so you do a podcast. Tell people a little bit why you're here. What is it you do exactly?
Well, funny enough, like you said, I'm from the Smack Raw podcast, so I'm here to represent them. But funny enough, the NXT guy. Every weekly Wednesday NXT episode, or I guess Tuesday on some rare occasions, like this upcoming week, I cover NXT every week. And also, I'm the predictions guy on the podcast, so I do predictions on our own show. So you picked the right guy from the podcast to go ahead and have on your prediction show, Warren. But that's basically the gist. We do recaps, we do predictions, and we occasionally have unpopular wrestling opinions episode on our Thursday evenings. So check those out.
Well, there you go. So, you know, I think maybe I might have a leg up, because since I accurately picked or predicted you were the prediction guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was trying to go somewhere with this, but it's not working.
No.
It sounded smarter in my head.
I got exactly where you were going.
Thank you.
I understood where you were going. I was ready to lean into it, man. But you just like gave up too soon, man. You gotta like follow through.
Well, I was like, no, where am I? No, I just like, yeah. You know, sometimes it's best. You know, it's best to have loved than to have never loved. I still don't know where I'm going with these analogies. I'm sorry.
It's all right, man. It's a Saturday morning. You went through a long recap watching New Japan. I honestly forgot it was happening until you told me you were doing the recap for it. And then you're doing this, man. So you're pushing through, man. That's it. The coffee's not kicking in just yet.
I see what I do as a community service. That's exactly how I feel about it.
That's exactly it, man.
Want to say hello to everyone who's joining us live, because yes, it's recorded on Saturday morning right here on youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. Maybe you're watching live, maybe you're listening on your own accord, and I appreciate that here on YouTube. But I want to say hello to everyone who's here, such as Bluegrass Jeff. How you doing? Caleb as well is here. Good to see you. JPQ, formerly of the No Particular Angle podcast, now just trolling people online. Good to see you. John Reese Thomas is here as well. And One Fall Podcast from Monterrey, Mexico. My God. Also want to say hello to Tim Traver, good friend of the show, who also left a super chat. Thank you, Tim. Says, Warren made my Saturday extra special. Thanks. Well, thank you for joining us on this extra special Saturday that I made extra special. I appreciate it, Tim. Good to see you. And of course, if you're watching right now, consider giving the video a thumbs up. That stuff really, really helps out. And if you're listening to this on your favorite podcast application, thank you. Thank you very much. That's also very cool. Glad you're all tuning in, whichever way you can, to talk about Payback. Now, before we actually talk about the matches and get into it, you know, we talked about this before coming on air. I like to set things up. Hey, Mr. Fretz, how you doing? I like to set things up a little bit and be like, okay, well, let's talk about the build to Payback. How do we feel about it? Well, at this point, 6 days, right?
Yeah.
Of build. Yeah. Is it too soon? I mean, it was SummerSlam, which is one of the big four pay-per-views of the year. Is it too soon for Payback, Vince?
The easy short answer is yes, but if you allow me to play devil's advocate here, Warren, I would like to think that they wanted to do a two-night SummerSlam event like they did with WrestleMania, but because no fans being there, they decided let's just make a very small show and just book a pay-per-view the following week and have the extra stuff, like the extra stuff we didn't want to have on SummerSlam, because SummerSlam was a really, really good show and it was a fun show, I thought, at least on my end.
I like
so maybe that. Notice they didn't even include Retribution because they wanted to like not water the pay-per-view down and then just, okay, this is where we're going to do our like messy stuff for the rest of the year, and then like SummerSlam we're going to keep it nice and clean. So in that perspective, I think it was good, but I don't know. It does feel too soon for another pay-per-view, but I think they did a solid job to get me excited for another weekend's worth of pay-per-view wrestling.
Okay. Do you think that this were okay? I'll meet you to a certain point, because I think you do. No, because I do think it's a valid point. I do think it makes sense that I do think it makes sense that maybe they wanted to do the two nights and maybe they weren't exactly. Maybe they felt they were going to be set up at the Amway Center maybe earlier than, I don't know. Look, we don't know. But because you do have matches on the card where you're like, yeah, this is weird that it wasn't on SummerSlam. But but looking at the card now, would Randy Orton have done double duty then? Would Sasha and Bayley, would they have done triple duty or at least double duty, their own? Or are they just creating these matches because they had something else planned? That's hard to say, right?
Well, it starts. I feel like they would make Golden Rule models go ahead and pull triple duty or double duty, whichever is more correct. I'm not exactly sure either, Warren. But like maybe again, it's just like one of those things where they don't want to go ahead and ruin a fun show, so they said, okay, well, we had this pay per view coming up. That's what we'll do. Like the Romans, we'll do the whole Roman match just in case people aren't for it at the end of the results. Or like Retribution, like I said, maybe they don't want to like ruin Retribution because people are hot and cold with the faction.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it's like simple answer, yes. It's too soon for another pay-per-view, especially since All Out is next weekend. So it's like 3 weeks of pay-per-views. It's going to be tough.
I don't know why they didn't counter-program All Out.
No, they should have, right? They should have just put Payback on the Saturday on the 5th. Just counter-program All Out. Why not?
I love the arguments, the theories about counter-programming. It just makes me laugh every time. Just like the NBA, you know, counter-programming NXT last week. So.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And Dynamite being held up because of the NBA playoffs.
Yes.
People were really upset about that. I'm surprised how upset they were.
Not really, you know. But
like Raw used to get bumped by a dog show back in the day.
Sure.
Like I remember. Yeah, so it's like,
and the US Open. Playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, this is the NBA playoffs, one of the four major sports in the United States. Of course you're gonna get bumped for that. It's absolutely. Like, be realistic, people.
I think it seems to me, I feel like, yeah, it's happened. It's happened that, I don't remember if it's Raw or SmackDown, but it has happened that either show on TSN, not TSN, but on Sportsnet in Canada, it's been bumped for hockey.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
Don't worry. The networks know where their bread is buttered.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely do. And here's the other thing here, and this is something that's really important that we have to keep in mind, at least, you know, here, here the wrestling shows all air on 24-hour sports networks, USA in the States and TNT. But all these networks now, they operate 24 hours a day. So they need content all the time.
Yeah.
So they have, yes, they're prime spots, but they're still spots that they need to fill up with stuff. And especially in the case of our sports networks here in Canada, when there's off season and stuff like that, they much rather have something like wrestling that provides content 52 weeks out of the year, as opposed to hockey, which has a more limited, which has a season. Mm-hmm. And then during the off season, they have to scramble to try and find stuff to put in that place. You know,
it's, right.
It all makes sense to me ultimately.
Yeah, I agree.
You talked about Retribution.
Yes.
That's a group. They call themselves Retribution. We don't even know if that's their real name.
Right.
That's what they call themselves. It's like, I like to call welcome the man who calls himself Vince Delgado. You know,
without having fully asked me, is that what you call yourself? I'm like, no. I actually go by Phil Brooks, actually. But I get where you're going with this, Warren. Yeah, exactly.
You said it's a hot or cold situation. Where do you side on this?
I am one of those wrestling fans that are probably a little bit too optimistic for their own good. So I like to see things on the greener pasture of things with Retribution. I like to think, well, we haven't seen everything. Some of the stuff has been good. Some of the stuff, okay, that didn't connect the way it should have. But I'm enjoying. I'm at least intrigued. They got me wondering who the people are, and I'm a big fan of like mysteries. Like I'm a big crime drama kind of guy, so like any kind of mystery, I'm all for it. The only thing that can make it better is they do some kind of like murder mystery thing, where like now I'd be really invested into the whole thing. But I don't think they can do that, even though they're PG TV-14 now. I like Retribution. I think it's okay. I think it's too soon to tell if it's a failure or not, or if it's good or bad. So far, I'm enjoying the ride. Right now, you know, the ride's a little bumpy, but we're getting there. We're getting there. I feel like
bumpy. Yeah, we'll agree on that. Personally, right now, like I like a good masked wrestler angle. I really do. I think they're fun, but you need to have a good payoff, right?
Yes.
And this is what I think is the problem with Retribution is, especially considering all the speculation that's going around. You've seen the image running around on Twitter, right? Where people are thinking, this is Dominik Dijakovic, this is Dio Madden, and Caden Carter and Mia Yim.
Yeah.
If you're going to do the masked wrestler angle, it's because you're preparing the audience for a surprise. And it's
right.
Something where everyone's going to go, ooh, you know, kind of thing. It's, you know, that's essentially what it is. If Retribution hits the ring and they unmask and Caden Carter unmasks, people are going to be like, who? What? Those of us who watch NXT and who know who it is will be like,
oh,
it's Caden Carter. But it won't be like, ah, it's Caden Carter. It'll be like, oh. Whereas the typical wrestling fan is going to be like, I don't even know who this chick is, kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And as much as I like Dominik Dijakovic, I don't think he's a big deal. You know, he's not someone where he'll take off the mask and everyone will flip out. I still think that I hope that there's an element here that hasn't quite been revealed that will make it feel big. Like my theory, and I've been calling out this one for weeks, is that Roman is the leader. Roman is one of the guys.
Was it after you saw the shirt, wreck everyone and leave?
It was before. It was just like on that Thursday, I had started putting that out there. Like, you know what? What if Roman Reigns is the... And then he comes in with his t-shirt. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there might be a fly in that ointment. But we'll get to that in a little while. But I still think Roman... Could you imagine Roman Reigns... And I think there'd be a good story to... I think it'd make sense because he's been at home nursing himself, making sure that he's, you know, that he doesn't throw himself out into the big Rona and then catch something that'll catch something that his system will have difficulty dealing with, you know, because of his cancer treatment and so on and so forth. So what if he came back and he was like, you know what? I don't recognize this place anymore. WWE's lost its way. I'm here, you know, I'm here to take it back kind of thing. This is, you know, my yard kind of thing. I think there'd be something compelling to do with that, and it'd be such a good breath of fresh air for him as well.
That's just theory. Like even just the alignments with Paul Heyman we saw on Friday, I feel like has already done wonders to like get people like giddy like a schoolgirl about Roman Reigns, which is the first time since his Shield days. I actually have an even more wild theory. I don't think it's going to happen, but my co-host Katie, she was asking, like, do you think there's some kind of alignment with Seth Rollins, because they didn't tag Seth and Murphy during that tag match? They just attacked the Mysterio family. And then I said, well, what if it's Roman and Seth as heel Shield members have like this new like evil Shield cult or something, and now they have all these minions or something? So I kind of like leaned into the whole thing a little bit too much, let my WWE 2K universe mode brain just run wild, but I like that idea. So now I'm gonna be kind of upset if we don't get like a Shield like evil reunion, like head like and led by Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. I feel like that'd be very interesting to see.
That's how not that plays out. I can get behind that. That'd be interesting. Evil Shield. Sure. Yes. Absolutely. In the chat, Bluegrass Jeff says, what if Sammy was the leader of Retribution?
Oh, I would like that too. I think
Sammy's too goofy for that though.
Yes. But that's not a bad thing. It's just they already get flack saying they're supposed to be menacing, but they come off a little goofy unintentionally. So maybe it's not the best idea.
But that's the point. It's unintentional. Whereas Sami Zayn is entirely in character. Like him, his stuff is intentional. Whereas, you know, standing around, jumping around after you've thrown a cinder block through a glass window, a glass door, that's unintentional. That's because you were given a cue and you're like, all right, and then you cheer.
Exactly, for sure. I think the one thing with Retribution, I keep telling everybody this, kind of like doing my best Keith Lee impression by calming the masses down by saying, hey, look, we still don't know who these people are. We don't know how many they are. Yes, we saw six at the end of Raw, but the SmackDown before that, there was like 20 of them attacking Braun Strowman. We still don't know the number. We still don't know who's there. They've been switching people in and out because they're keeping it close to the chest, or AKA they don't know who the fuck they want in the entire like faction.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Exactly. So it's a little bit of everything. Assuming it's those are the core members that are going to be there, Dijakovic, I think, would be a key addition. He can't be the big name reveal. He has to be one of like the bigger names. You said that would be the issue here. If it's a bunch of like people that no one knows, or at least the casual fans don't know, it won't resonate. It worked with the Nexus, but that's only because they attacked immediately and we saw their faces right away, and it made an impact.
There you go. See, and this ties into something that I like to talk about on my stream, is let wrestlers do wrestling things, right? In the storylines, in why they fight, it doesn't always have to be for these, for very convoluted reasons. These are professional fighters, paid fighters, who are paid money to kick the shit out of each other, essentially, and want to win titles, because when you win a title, you get a bigger payday, right? That's essentially how it goes. That's the basis of pro wrestling. So Nexus worked because they were doing wrestler things. They were coming in and they were beating people up. They weren't throwing Molotov cocktails. They weren't tossing cinder blocks through windows that were already shattered. You know what I mean? It's like this is my main problem with it. And that's why I think it's lame, is because they spent so much time like flipping cars. I don't care. Why does this resonate to me? And we didn't even know whose car that was. Maybe it was like maybe it was a member of the janitorial staff of the PC who's like, hey man, How am I going to get home tonight? You know, kind of thing. If it was like Vince's limo, you'd be like, okay, there's yes. something, you know. But anyway.
I think they need to attack Vince is the next step. Attack Vince? And they've had two not this Vince, but oh, okay, Vince McMahon. They need to, I feel like we need to specify. I want us sending retribution to my home.
It was probably simple. We should have established that your name was Phil Brooks. It would have been a lot simpler to make it.
Yes. But would people just assume that CM Punk would be on your podcast at that point?
True. That's very true. But what if we spelt it F-I-L? Phil.
yeah, we could do something. Change it up just slightly. Be like, oh, no. That's file.
No, it's Phil with an F. What?
Yeah, Phil with an F. I'm with it. I'm gonna go ahead and change that as my Twitter name for like a week or two. See if people get
there
the reference.
There you go. We'll see if that works out. All right, let's start talking about Payback. It's not a revolution, retribution. I want to call them revolution. I don't know why. Retribution. But we're going to talk about Payback. Now, let's get into the matches. I'm going to WWE has the matches up on WWE.com. So I, per usual, will be reading them in reverse order as how they're presented. So it's not me being like, oh, I think this match should go on before the other. No. It's their order. And I'm just going from bottom to top.
Smart man.
Thank you.
Place the blame on
there you go. First match we have is Matt Riddle versus King Corbin.
Okay.
The thing here is that I make no big mystery about it. I like and I dislike Baron Corbin all at once. Because I think he's a very good wrestler. I really do. I think he's good in the ring. We just have to think back at the King of the Ring last year, where I think he ended up wowing a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But the material that they give him, the stuff that they have him do, is so ungodly corny that this is where he starts to lose a lot of luster and where he becomes very annoying to some people. I don't know how your feelings are, but in this regard, characterization aside, I think this has the potential to be a really fun match.
Oh, I think so too. Like you said, Baron Corbin is deceitfully good in the ring. He has a lot of cool moves. If nothing else, he has like three or four or five really, really cool moves. The thing where he slides underneath the turnbuckle, comes back in.
The boss man spot. The big boss man spot. Yep.
Yeah, the deep six. He has a bunch of really good moves.
And he's one of the guys as well who always does a little something new every time. There's always a little something that he adds on. But go ahead.
Yeah, with me and Corbin, one of my old co-hosts on the show, Rob, he is the biggest Baron Corbin guy there is. He just loves all the heels. And he kind of like warmed me up to Baron Corbin right around the King of the Ring tournament. He's like, yeah, man, he's so good. He should win. And he's like, you know what, Rob? You're right. And I loved Corbin or Constable Baron Corbin. I thought that was the best version
of
Corbin.
With the sleeveless vest? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Chili's manager, Baron Corbin, is my favorite. I love the guy. He can do no wrong, in my opinion. I think the material is corny that they give him. Yes, that's a hindrance, but they do that with a lot of people. You know, Roman had the suffering succotash line. You know, everybody gets dealt a
sure, but in Corbin, they feed him shit lines week after week after week.
Consistently.
Like, the suffering succotash thing was one, that's one thing that stuck with us. Yeah. But then you can argue that Roman has never had good material either, but that's a whole other story. But Corbin... Yes. It's the corniness that I can't get over. And then, you know, they're always going to put him in the situation where he's going to get dog food poured on him, or he's going to get beat up by The Rock and Becky Lynch. I can't buy into him as a top heel. This is very, very personal, right? Because and I'm glad we're disagreeing on stuff, because people like sparks. They like it when the sparks fly. it's very hard to take him to not. It's very hard to take him seriously because he he's never put in a position where he gets to really be a nasty heel. It's always one of these cartoony heels, and then when something bad happens to him, he's like.
And not to add more to your point, but even his Money in the Bank run was very cartoonish the way he cashed in and lost against Jinder Mahal because John Cena came and interrupted him. He's like, dude, just wait till John Cena's gone. Like, there's been how many cashes before this? Like, just follow the same
just
formula.
A couple of weeks ago. Well, I think it was in the build-up to this year's Money in the Bank. He hits someone with a ladder on the outside and causes a disqualification, and then he gets mad at the ref. I'm like, dude, you're not at your first rodeo here, pal. What the hell? So, I unfortunately can't get behind him. Matt Riddle, how do you think he's being handled as it is right now?
Obviously, they have high hopes for the guy, or at least they like him certainly enough to not change his theme song and gear when he first debuts on the show. So he has that one up. That one leg up on Keith Lee. But, you know, it is what it is. I feel like they're using him in the spot that he's supposed to be used. They're eventually building him up. Like, we all knew he was going to be going into a feud with Baron Corbin. Nobody was blindsided by this decision. I think he'll be fine. They're trying to push him towards the upper mid card. And then within the year's time or 2 years' time, he'll be a main eventer.
I think so, too.
Unless he gets in his own way. I feel like that's the thing with Matt Riddle. He's the only guy that can prevent himself. And I'm not talking about other stuff. It's just like him rubbing people the wrong way backstage. We've already heard that him and Brock Lesnar kind of butted heads and him and Goldberg butted heads. So it's like he I feel like he's the only one that can like really get into
something. I'm going to tell you, anyone who butts heads with Goldberg is okay in my book. I agree with you. I think Riddle, you know, Riddle has only one way to go, and it's up. I really hope that they don't extend this feud. I think he deserves bigger things quicker than Baron Corbin, but that's because of how I feel about Baron Corbin. But I think this is going to be a good match. Who you got coming out of this one?
Matt Riddle. He's either going to get a clean win over Baron Corbin or Chad Gable, because I refuse to call him Shorty G. Chad Gable's going to come in and attack Matt Riddle and force the DQ, but in that case, it would still be a win for Matt Riddle. So, regardless, I got Matt.
You know, I wouldn't put it past WWE to have Corbin win here, you know, because it's the kind of thing that they'd be like, yeah, let's extend this feud, you know. But, you know, if we're being completely honest, Matt Riddle's debut pay-per-view showing should be, you know, officially on the roster, what I mean. Mm-hmm. He should defeat King Corbin. So we're in agreement with that. I want to say hello to Manny Santos and Thomas Gorries, who joined us in the chat. Hello. Next match is a bit of a mystery to me as to what, but Dominic and Rey Mysterio. We don't know if Angie's going to be there, though. Versus Seth and Seth Rollins and Budworth Murphington. So the... How do you feel about this feud overall to begin with?
I feel like it's had its moments, and it's had other moments where just like it just doesn't resonate, just doesn't hit. Like, for instance, Murphy and Seth attacking Dominic with the kendo sticks. That was great.
That was good stuff.
Great right there. I thought their match at SummerSlam was really good, considering that it was Dominic's first match. And I even like the eye for an eye match up until like the very cheesy eyeball spot at the end. If it wasn't for that, I would have been like, oh, that's one of my favorite matches on the card. I think they're good. I'm just excited that they're actually doing something with Ray, because last time he was here with WWE, they just let him flounder for a bit and didn't really give him much direction. So as long as he has some direction, I'm okay with it. And given what happened last week at SummerSlam, Seth won, and they're supposedly setting up a match or advertising it between Seth and Rey Mysterio on this upcoming Monday. I'm assuming that they're going to try to like get a tiebreaker here on Monday and give the win to the Mysterio clan and have that as a tag team win. And Murphy's probably just here to take the Chase Owens spot and just take the pin. And I feel like that's what this is. I feel like this is just like running the bag. Chase Owens spot for Buddy Murphy. Nothing against Chase Owens or Buddy Murphy. It's just that's the hand you're dealt and the role you're playing right now.
When I said, when I asked you how you felt about the feud, I'm in agreement. This has been a very hot, cold feud for me. And it's interesting because I feel like one of the Dominic Seth match at SummerSlam is my second favorite match of the night. It was only superseded by Asuka versus Bayley. Asuka versus Sasha, excuse me.
Yeah.
Which was, in my opinion, the match of the night. This match worked at SummerSlam because of the long-term storytelling. And it's weird because that Seth just a couple of days ago or a couple of weeks ago tweeted out, "Oh, wrestling fans can't deal with the long-term storytelling." And I'm like, dude, this match that you had at SummerSlam would not have been half as effective or dramatic had it not been for the long-term storytelling. Now, well, this is the long-term storytelling. Good, maybe not. Not the whole way. I agree. You know, the plastic eyeball and the vomit was a little too much, you know? But, you know, I think I'm going to turn out, thinking back on the whole Mysterio Rollins stuff, a little more favorably. That said, I would have ended the feud at SummerSlam. So the heel wins. Okay. You know, it's like, 'cause it feels like we've seen it before, and we have.
Yeah.
And it was such a great height that they hit on Sunday, dramatically speaking, 'cause it was a good wrestling match. Not the greatest. I mean, geez, you know, Dominic was in his first match on TV on a pay-per-view. He did wonderfully, you know, for a guy in his position. That was fantastic. But, you know, overall, dramatically, the emotions, the story they were telling, pinpoint. I thought it was spot on the entire way. Okay, and we're good. And Seth Rollins moves on to other things. He goes and he, whatever. I don't know.
I think it's two things. It's one that we have this last minute pay-per-view at Payback. If it wasn't for Payback, this wouldn't be happening. That's the only reason they need to fill matches up on the card. And two, with the pandemic going on, they're limited on bodies, so they kind of have to like extend certain things going a little bit further. I feel like WWE's pretty quick on like ending some stuff and it nipping it in the butt in terms of like a feud. There's been times where I feel like I've seen the feud go like a month and they were done. And then we forget that they even feuded like a couple months down the line. I would blame it. I'm gonna blame it on that. Like, one of the things your viewers are gonna like come to know about me is I'm annoyingly positive about situations, and I like to look at the bright side of things. So I'm going to just assume that it's because of the pandemic and because there's a last-minute pay-per-view that this is it. But if there is a blow-off, it's going to have to be at the next pay-per-view, Hell in a Cell. Perfect way to end things. Seth Rollins, Rey Mysterio, final shebang.
I mean, that makes sense to end it off. It's just... I like the idea. Your theory with the pandemic rings true, of course. I think that's absolutely valid. The fact that they had a week to prepare for this, sure. But yeah, I'm a guy who's like, leave them wanting more, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, you cap the feud off on Sunday. The other problem that WWE has is that sometimes they don't know when to stop either, and they're just going to keep going and going and going. You're like, dude, we're good. We're good at this point. Can we, you know, like Roman and Baron Corbin, right? Last year. My God, we were sick of that. So sick of it. Mm-hmm. But it was like, no, we're going back to it. We're going back to it again. Thank goodness they had the match at SummerSlam, because I think that it helped
the feud stay alive.
Yeah, exactly, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now the big question: who wins, the Mysterios, whether they're with Angie or not, or Rollins and Murphy?
I'm going to go ahead and say you got to give the win to the Mysterio family, just because they lost on Sunday. Rey might lose on Monday, so might as well give him a good feel win here. And like I said, Buddy Murphy is here to do the hit and fulfill the Chase Owens role and take the pin.
I think so too. I think the Mysterios get a win back, and I really hope that in this circumstance that it does lead to a Hell in a Cell match between Seth and Rey, like you were saying, because if this just ends on 50-50 booking, I will punch someone. No, I won't actually punch someone. But
maybe, you know, that Dustin Rose poster in the background.
Oh God, no, he scares the shit out of me.
No, but it's not really Dustin Rose. It's just a poster.
Yeah, but he's still, you know, I'd punch it and somehow he'd feel it and then he'd locate me and start Canadian destroying me all over my kitchen.
Oh, okay. I bet it wouldn't be the best Canadian destroyer, so you'll be okay.
Want to say hello to Throwback, who jumped in the chat. How you doing, Throwback? Subscribe to his channel, you sons. YouTube.com/Throwback27. Go do it now. And then come back. Because we're going to talk about the United States Championship that is going to be on the line. Apollo Crews versus Bobby Lashley. I am super happy and also extremely surprised that WWE is actually pushing Apollo Crews. Because viewers of my stream will know that I was very, very skeptical, extremely skeptical at WWE pushing Apollo Crews. They'd tried in the past so many times and it just didn't work. Now I'm buying into it. He's getting the big wins. His feud with MVP worked and now he's moving up, I guess, to a certain degree against Bobby Lashley. I think this is a natural progression, and I enjoyed this feud a great deal. I think it's one of the... I don't think people talk about it enough, how good it was. The trio of the Hurt Business, which was a duo at first, and then the recruitment stuff. MVP's been doing God's work, to a certain degree. What do you think about all of this?
Oh, I've been enjoying it. I think it's good. I think the only, like, turd they dropped on us with this whole storyline was the arm wrestling thing on Monday.
Yes, absolutely.
But other than that, I've enjoyed Bobby's work. I've enjoyed MVP's work tremendously. I'm glad they're using Shelton Benjamin and he's not just sitting in catering, because this guy is a tremendous athlete. He can go in the ring. Why bring him back to the company if you're just going to have him sit there and eat the fine cuisine that WWE offers, you know? And then Apollo being elevated slightly by association, they've even found a way to, like, include, sprinkle in the Cedric Alexander and the Ricochet here and there, even the Mustafa Ali at one point. There's some good stuff here. I would kind of hope that the energy they bring from Raw Underground, they bring over to the main show and are that physically dominant with the match on Sunday. Overall, I think it's good. I think Bobby Lashley, the one thing is when they pushed him to the title scene against Drew and that he lost, I felt like that kind of lost him a little credibility.
That was, like, a little early. It was too early for that.
They should have waited until, like, let's say, like, around this time. Like, okay, you've established the Hurt Business. You've established Bobby Lashley as a force with MVP. It's completely different Lashley. Now put him up against Drew. But they were, like, grasping at straws for guys for Drew to face, and that's what happened. It didn't hurt him too much in the long run, but I feel like you're gonna have to start elevating Bobby Lashley up there soon.
Man, or else, no, sorry, go ahead. I thought, apologies, finish your thought.
I was just gonna say, or else you just run the risk of this being like a situation where you don't take these guys seriously.
I agree. If we want to talk about Bobby Lashley for a bit, you know, he's being rehabilitated, right? Because as much as people were like, oh, yeah, the love triangle angle, you know, at least he's on TV, they're having him do something, but he looked like a fool. That's ultimately the thing. To completely erase that stuff, you know, it's like, oh, they got him talking about him, they got people talking about him, sure, but they're not talking about him as Bobby Lashley should be talked about, which is former MMA guy who comes in and whoops everyone. That's essentially it. So, like you said, the problem that they had with Drew is such a big guy, and he just came off of a feud with Seth Rollins. You're kind of like, well, you sort of have to feed him credible. You have to feed the most credible opponents to your champion, who is already a huge guy. So yeah. It was a little early. Like you said, imagine if we were at this stage here where Lashley finally coming across as a badass, just a guy who just runs in and destroys stuff. Imagine if we had that in Drew as a possible feud post Randy Orton. I mean, they could still go back to it, but it was a little early. But then again, I think the whole COVID stuff, the bodies, you know, what you were talking, you know, to your point earlier in regards to the Mysterio and Rollins stuff, I think it's a question also of available personnel that had them decide to go down this road here. I love how they're portraying Bobby Lashley. It's something that they should have been doing years ago upon his return, instead of having him run through Sami Zayn's gauntlet of army stuff and the sisters and all that garbage. Bobby Lashley's a fighter. He's a fighter. He wants to go in the ring. He wants to show off as being the best fighter. That's it. Yeah. So and then you have MVP who's acting as a promoter in his case. So it all works. I love it. I think it's good.
I'm with it. I 100% agree with you, Warren. I think this is the right direction for Lashley. And that's going to lead into my prediction. I think he should win that United States title off of Apollo Crews.
I think he should win it too. Go ahead. But please finish your thought again. I'll stop interrupting you.
No. It's fine, man. It's fine. But yeah, I think he should win for the same reason I mentioned earlier, that he went for the WWE title unsuccessful, and MVP was supposed to be the United States champion in that faction. If Bobby Lashley is supposed to be the most dominant force and he should be the focal point of that faction, you can't not have him be the top champion. If you're not going to give him the WWE title, the next best title is the US title. You can't have your manager, like, as much as that great MVP is, he can't be the one with the US title. It has to be Lashley. He has to be the prize champion, the Brock Lesnar.
Exactly.
To his Paul Heyman.
Absolutely. That's exactly the perfect comparison. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. So yeah, I kind of see, I agree. I see Bobby Lashley coming out of this one with the win. And I think it's good. I think they did a good job pushing Apollo Crews at the same time. So good all around. Next, Keith Lee. Oh, by the way, hello, Mags, and who just joined us in the chat, and Tim and Joel Call It in the Ring joined us as well. I don't know if it's both of them or if it's just Tim or Joel, but they're calling in. It's good to see you guys, or Guy. Keith Lee versus Randy Orton is our next match, Vince. Tell me how great Keith Lee's debut was on Raw.
If you take the ring gear and you take the change of music out of the equation, I thought it was a very good debut.
I think so.
He showed up in a high-profile program interrupting Randy Orton, one of their top guys of the last 20 years, and went toe-to-toe in the ring. And there were a lot of times where Randy Orton sold for Keith Lee, like, whoa, hold up, timeout. Who is this guy? Like, I was not prepared for him. And then they had, like, the third segment where they were interviewing him as Drew was being, like, carried off in the ambulance. So I think they did well. They positioned him in a high-profile situation to let us know, this is a big deal kind of guy. You need to watch out for him. He's going to be a player. I think when you, like I said, if you take out the aesthetic things out of it, I think it was a very good debut, and his debut pay-per-view match is going to be against Randy Orton.
Wait, you're telling me he's not buried? What?
Oh, of course not.
What?
He is not buried. He'll be okay. And even if they did try to bury him, Keith Lee is one of those guys where I feel like he can claw his way out of any situation, turn chicken shit into chicken salad, and make the best out of it. He really does feel like someone that won't be held down. I feel like he's going to make it to the top one way or another. It just depends on how soon he gets there on WWE's end.
You know, that idiom, you know, making chicken salad out of chicken shit. Yeah. I always kind of think it'd be funny. It's like, you know, because I like chicken salad. I like it. You know, and you go to someone's house and they serve you a nice big bowl of chicken salad and you start eating and say, man, this is the best chicken salad I've had. So what's your recipe? Oh, well, I start with chicken shit and then I make chicken salad out of it. Do you continue eating, Vince, even if it's really, really good? Because they literally, they just told you, yeah, they gave me chicken shit, and here's the chicken salad I made out of it. It's fucking good, though, but it came from, you know, it's always rang a little weird for me. It's like, good for you for making chicken salad out of the chicken shit, but would you eat it? Knowing, anyway.
Knowing? And that particular, so you're putting your time in my hands here, Warren, because I like to flesh into my analogy in terms of wrestling, but we take it out of the wrestling context and put in a real world situation. Mm-hmm. I would not finish that salad. I would be like, whoa, hold up, time out. This has been a lovely evening. Thank you for inviting me. I will be going now.
And you never go back. Because you're like,
never speak to them again.
And then you're like, Jesus Christ! Last week we had hoagies. What the hell what did they put in those sandwiches last week?
Exactly. Now you start questioning the recipes going forward. You can never trust them.
No, absolutely not. Anyway, that was a little aside. I think Keith Lee's music is horrible. It's a Brock Lesnar knockoff. It looked like he was wearing a skirt. But I was expecting when I heard that Kristen and I during TakeOver, mm-hmm. we were watching him and Karrion Kross, and we both had the same thought at the same time. We were like, you know, if he ever goes up to Maine, he's going to wear a shirt when he wrestles. Vince will not want to see the Keith Lee gut, right? Personally, it doesn't bother me, but Vince won't want to see it.
Yeah.
He'll want to see Otis's gut because Otis then rubs it and it's a comedy thing, you know? It's like, look at how fatty he is. Whereas, and that's what they did. They put a shirt on him, mm-hmm. which is stupid because the idea is of Keith Lee is to see how much of a mass of humanity he is. If you start covering it up, you lose that impact. But he's not buried.
No.
Jesus Christ. People, like, and it's exactly like you said, Randy Orton, you have to put yourself in WWE's, in the WWE mindset. If you have a guy going in a program with Randy Orton, one of their top guys, considered one of their top guys, despite what you as an audience member may think, this is a guy who's a lifer in WWE. He's done everything there. In the viewpoint of the company, he is a huge deal. Plus, he's doing the best work of his career right now, if you ask me. There is no way in hell that you can say that Keith Lee is being buried. Because people don't understand what the term buried means anymore. That's not mm-hmm. what it is. He's going to payback in a high-profile match against Randy Orton, who has been the company's top heel for all of 2020. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just fascinates me. But this is a fascinating match nonetheless. It's an interesting matchup. Who do you have coming out here on top?
Well, I kind of want to go on my opposite pick because we've agreed on every single match, and I'm like, I'm going to switch it up. But my heart tells me it's Keith Lee. I feel like Drew McIntyre is going to come out, distract Randy Orton, and then that's where Keith Lee hits like a spear bomb or a big bang catastrophe on Randy Orton to further the Drew McIntyre-Randy Orton feud. And it's comeuppance for punting the guy three times on Monday.
Well, so really, it's just once. He just punt like he connected once.
Well, within kayfabe, they liked us to believe it was three times, but it was just the once. You're correct, Warren.
I'm not taking anything away from Randy Orton. He can send a guy away in an ambulance with a fractured skull, you know, after missing two kicks. So, I mean, the sheer force, the sheer gusts of wind from the sheer force of the vibrations from his kick resonated so hard within. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man. I got Keith Lee. I think he's going to win. I think it's going to be Drew coming out, distracting Randy, and allowing Keith to get a not-so-clean win on Randy Orton and to protect the loss against Randy Orton. And you put over a guy who is 100% not buried.
Do we bring back... Because I think Keith Lee should win. Right, mm-hmm. I think he should, but I'm not convinced on how he should do it.
Right.
Do you bring back Drew McIntyre off of a stretcher job 1 week later? You know?
Well, he took like two punts before he was actually stretchered out. He fought that whole thing off. He wasn't 100%, but he was like, no,
right.
I still want Randy Orton. They want to build him up as like, oh man, look at this tough guy, man. He would. No man has ever done that unless you're Shawn Michaels, you know, because he gets up right after one.
Yeah,
and that's what it could be. They could have a situation just like Dean Ambrose where he got like sent to the hospital and he came back being driving the ambulance himself. It was a little goofy, but you can kind of do something similar where he's like getting there, he's all bandaged up, he's not 100%, but that distraction is enough for Randy Orton to lose the match.
Well, I think Keith Lee is going to win as well. So we're keep going on the agreement train here. Choo choo keeps going forward. Brian Payne is in the chat. How you doing, Brian? Good to see you. Next match we are going to talk about is the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship, Bayley and Sasha Banks, the champs, versus Shayna Baszler and locker room leader and safe worker Nia Jax. As we get into here, we're back to heavily teasing Sasha and Bayley splitting up. Now, they've been teasing this for a while, you know, spreading a few breadcrumbs, so on and so forth. But they kind of leaned a little harder into it this week. Sasha on SmackDown last evening was giving a Bayley the 1,000-yard stare. And our boy throwback in the chat left us a super chat. Thank you very much. Says nice. Banks gets her retribution on Sunday. Face turn, perhaps. What do you feel about that, Vince?
Can you repeat that?
About Sasha Banks and Bayley splitting, and maybe basically Sasha getting her revenge on Bayley for not helping her out.
I think they can go two ways here. I could totally see them losing the titles, then getting more friction together, but then decided let's try and work things out and get the titles back off of Jax and Baszler, and then they're champions again. Or they can retain it here, but I don't. Regardless of what happens here, like I don't think that's going to be something long term. I don't think they're ready to pull the trigger on Sasha and Bayley match just yet. They like to do that where it's all like sunshines and rainbows between the two for a long period of time. Then there's that one thing, that big thing that happens, creates friction. They somehow able to rally the troops and get back on the same page. But I think they're still okay. I think they're not going to split them up just yet. They're going to go ahead and keep doing these teases. In fact, I think they might lean heavy into this and have Sasha basically carry the match or be the reason why they win the match and Bayley almost lose the titles. And then now she has that over Bayley and be like, look, I'm the tag team champions. I'm the reason why we're champions. You almost cost us the titles, but I saved the team.
I like that because the thing here that I like that idea. I like the idea of Bayley actually like turning on Sasha much more than the opposite. But I prefer Sasha Banks as a heel than a babyface. And who would have thunk that Bayley would be such a great heel? Like she's become absolutely fantastic. I don't even know who you turn back in this circumstance. And I wouldn't put it past them either to, like you said, to just have them work the match and come to the end and they're still friends. Because it's happened so many times in the past at a pay-per-view where you're like, oh, this is it. And then they end up hugging. They help out each other and they're like, and then they go back and they're high-fiving and everything's cool again.
They could go in either direction here. And I think that's the good thing. They're one of the best things going on SmackDown. They're the reason I tune in Friday nights.
Oh, sure.
Other than, other than Roman now. Now Roman's another reason to tune into the show. But I think they're doing great stuff. I like the little teases here and there. I'm a man of foreplay, Warren, so I appreciate all of this.
Thank you for that. The but I'm not even surprised that you say that they're the reason you tune in on Friday nights. They've been carrying this company on their shoulders ever since Becky Lynch left. You could throw in Asuka in there as well, but the work that these two ladies have been putting forward, Jesus. On the other side you have Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, will they be able to get along? Most importantly, do we care? But is there a title switch, Vince?
If there is, they're gonna drop the titles right back to Golden Role Models, within a couple of weeks, maybe at Hell in a Cell or something. It won't be a long reign. Sasha's my girl. Like, she's like one of my favorite wrestlers. I refuse to bet against her 2 weeks in a row, two pay-per-views in a row. So I'm gonna go Golden Role Models here. I say they retain here, and maybe there's still some friction at the end of the match, though.
Well, we're going to disagree on this one. I think Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax are going to walk out with the titles. Mm-hmm. I think losing the titles is going to ultimately be the wedge that splits Sasha and Bayley. Maybe not on Sunday, but could be as soon as the next SmackDown, honestly. Mm. Shayna and Nia Jax are your new champs, because that's all we want. We want Nia Jax to be able to go on all the brands. We want more and more Nia Jax. That's really what the audience wants. Mm-hmm. Final match of the evening, the Universal Championship, The Fiend, Bray Wyatt versus, who's the champion, by the way, versus Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. No holds barred triple threat match, which is odd because all triple threat matches are no holds barred, but hey, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's one thing I kept saying. It's a little redundant given that triple threat matches are no holds barred, so I didn't get the whole point of that. But I mean, it is what it is. Just added an extra layer, a little spice or pizzazz to the match, make it feel a little bit special, I guess. Because I guess triple threat is too boring.
I guess it's me, maybe it's just it's just a three person match. No. If it had been false count anywhere, then you're like, oh boy, now we're talking about something. tell me about Paul Heyman showing up with Roman Reigns. I thought that was I thought that was cool shit, pal.
Well, we were wondering after his return at SummerSlam, is he a heel? Is he just a more edgy babyface? What's going on with him? Him aligning with Paul Heyman at the end of SmackDown and making himself the newest Paul Heyman guy kind of throws those questions out the window. He's heel. They actually pulled the trigger on the guy, which I grew up in the John Cena era and always wondering, will they pull the trigger? And they never did. Maybe they decided, well, let's not do the same thing we did with Cena. Let's go ahead and actually pull the trigger on this guy and actually try something. Right now, when there's no fans in the actual building, we can actually get away with some stuff here. I'm all for it. I've been a big proponent of turning the guy heel or giving him an edge. So regardless, it looks like they're giving him both. I'm getting both my wishes here. So I'm all for it. I think this is great. I think they're the new Deadly Alliance, just like in Mortal Kombat. They're the Deadly Alliance of pro wrestling. Paul Heyman on the mic, then you have Roman. Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
I'm going to be convinced of Roman's heel turn when we go into the Thunderdome. And the guy giving the indication says, okay, let's see those thumbs down for Roman. Then we'll know. Then we'll know that he's supposed to be a heel. Sarcasm aside, this is exciting stuff. Because like you said, it's something they should have pulled the trigger on for a long, long time. Honestly, okay, let me just play devil's advocate, because I like to think he's a heel too. I agree with it. But here's what I'm wondering. This is what I'm thinking here. Is our boy Roman, or at least is he really a heel? Because if we go back in time with, or at least in recent incarnations of Paul Heyman with Brock, when Brock was fighting Samoa Joe for the Universal title, when they had that great feud, and you'll remember, you know, Samoa Joe, you know, talking very, very menacingly in the corner up close to Paul Heyman, you know, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Was Paul Heyman the heel there? Was Brock the heel in that circumstance? Is Brock Lesnar really a heel? You know, is my point. Because, yes, he's been fighting baby faces.
Yeah.
But Brock just wants to beat people up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just wants to fight guys.
Yeah.
Until he starts getting into programs with Roman Reigns, where then he starts becoming dastardly, you know? I don't know. Yes. I'm just throwing that out there.
Fair point. I like to think that Brock Lesnar is just a company guy and a consummate good employee, because he comes in there, works his dates that he's scheduled to, and leaves, you know? Doesn't stir any trouble, I feel like. I feel like Brock Lesnar's a good stand-up guy, and he just wants to do his job.
He's just there to work.
He's just there to work and then punch out, man. He's living the dream. Just come in, punch in your time card, and punch out when you're done. That's what Brock Lesnar does.
How do you feel of what they're doing with Braun Strowman?
This is the first time on the show that I feel like I'm going to sound negative, but I do not enjoy Braun Strowman. I do not like the work he's doing. I don't like the change up. I haven't really been behind him ever since he like turned babyface and went for like a tag title run, or just it seemed like he transitioned into the Big Show role way faster than Big Show did. If that makes any sense.
It does.
I feel like he's the modern day Big Show, and they fast tracked him to being the new Big Show is what happened.
How did they mess it up, Vince? How did they mess up Braun Strowman?
A couple of things. They didn't actually.
Oh, you actually have answers. I thought you were going to be like, dude, there's so many things. Okay.
So, first off, you can't have him win Money in the Bank and then being distracted by Baron Corbin and not being able to successfully cash in on Brock Lesnar at Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. He has match after match against Brock Lesnar, and he's not able to get the job done, and I'm supposed to take him seriously. And then he has runs in with Brock Lesnar where he makes him look like a chump almost. And on top of that, it was really his feud with Roman that really put him over in the eyes of the fans. Once you turned him babyface, also too, people forget this happened because a lot of people like to ignore this because it was so traumatizing. When he turned heel randomly and made a faction with Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley, or was it Baron Corbin?
Dolph Ziggler.
It was Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre, and then the whole Roman situation happened with him announcing his leukemia. Then they turned him babyface right away, and then Roman came back and they turned him heel once again. It's like that's where they started the whole Big Show train, where they turned him heel just to feud him with Roman again. Then they turned him babyface like 2 weeks after the fact, and I felt like that kind of disconnected him with the fans, especially me.
I think we're going to look back at the Braun Strowman's career, and we're going to look back, especially at this period here, like you said, where and say this is just a series of mismanagements of people thinking that they have the formula for Braun, mm-hmm. and then just dropping the ball with it. What made Braun so much fun at first was that he did seem relentless and just was interested in, as they say in French, fucking shit up. and that's all he was about. And that's what people got behind him. The minute he started talking, they started deciding to give him a personality, be a little more cutesy. I think that's where they started dropping the ball on him.
I mean, to be fair, Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman stuff was very charming.
That was very, very entertaining. I agree. But I can't help but feel bad for Braun because he's the guy that was put in Roman's position for WrestleMania, mm-hmm. right, to fight Goldberg. Within a very short amount of time, and he stepped up, he did it, he company guy, I'll do it, I'm here for you guys, finally gets his run, and they don't have shit for him. Right. You know? And that's something that I find really, really crappy. And I know there's a lot of people who say, like, but he's so bland on the mic, he's so ordinary. If you've ever heard Braun Strowman in a real human interview, he's mm-hmm. funny, he's witty, he's really capable. He has a great personality. So right. at some point, I'm like, this is one of these situations where you're like, they overthink him, they try to push him in areas where that don't call upon his strengths, and he ends up sounding very off, artificial at some points, sounds mm-hmm. like he's reading his lines. Whereas if they let him be himself, his personality would win people over, guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed. And it sucks. It sucks that he's in this position, because in 2018, we were like, this guy's gonna, there's your next big thing, WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, And there's something I like. I also like to. I'm going to sort of wrap it up with this, at least on this part of the thought process. I like to say on my stream, the number of talents of wrestlers that WWE has messed up over the years by bad creative, so on and so forth. At some point, I think at this point in history, you need to have a talent to do mm-hmm. that, for the number of people that they've done it to and the number of sure things that they had in their hands and still managed to fuck up. I don't think it's accidental. I don't think it's bad. I think it's a talent. It's a talent to mess careers up like mm-hmm. they do.
Right.
It's just fascinating to me.
It's tough, man. Like I said, I have not been invested in Braun Strowman for a good year now. The only thing I was intrigued with was the Wyatt Swamp fight match. And that's only because of their history with Bray Wyatt. And he brought back the old gimmick. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of cinematic matches too. I think they're very nice. So I was interested in that, but it was more or less because of the history. You could have like swapped out Braun Strowman and put in Luke Harper, and I would have been just as invested. So that had nothing to do with Braun.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's my whole take on Braun. It's like, unfortunately, I do not care about him at the moment, and that's not good.
It's a shame. It's really a shame.
It is.
So who's winning?
This is tough, right? I mean, you kind of like put yourself in a tough situation because you just put the title on The Fiend last week. You don't want The Fiend to look weak, especially losing to Goldberg at Saudi Arabia. But then now you have Roman Reigns with this new heel edge and has everything going for him. The internet is buzzing about him in the best way possible. I don't think there's too many people that are saying negative things about Roman, which is a nice change of pace. And then you align him with Paul Heyman. How can you not have Roman win the title, walk away with the title? I feel like that's the safest bet, is having Roman walk away with the title. Just don't have Fiend be involved in the finish and have him pin Braun Strowman.
Yeah. I honestly think Braun is there to... I think Braun... This is going to sound very strange, but I think Braun is going to be the Chase Owens out of this
one. Yes! I like that you're using my analogy here, Warren.
I do. I think that's what he's there for. Because The Fiend doesn't need the title. He never needed the title. It's pointless. And yeah, just do it right, honestly, it's the most... To me, it's the most predictable outcome. Mm-hmm. But predictable doesn't mean it's bad. Right. I think this is the best. It's the most predictable, but it's also the best outcome. I think Roman has to win. I really do.
I agree, man. I 100% back that theory. And also, too, my other reasoning for it is it'll be okay because you don't have to go back into that direction because the draft's coming up, or at least rumblings are, and maybe you pivot Fiend back over to Raw, where I feel like that's where he did his best work.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. So there you have it, folks. Those are our predictions. What I like about this show, though, Vince, what I like about it, six matches, It's going to be a nice, short little show. We'll be done by 9:30.
You know, kind hopefully, of thing. You'd like to think so, right?
but they've pulled off a couple of shows like that recently. Shorter, punchier. WWE's pay-per-views this year have been mostly positive, I find. I think they've been doing a good job overall. There hasn't been any backlash 2018s dropped upon us, so that's good. Final thoughts on the card overall?
I'm excited, especially since there are rumors that they might actually reveal who Retribution is at the pay-per-view. Given like Retribution, Payback, it's almost like the pay-per-view was meant for them. It was meant to be. It was in the cards. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for Keith Lee on main roster. Mm-hmm. All these matches sound good on paper. And that's all you can hope for as a wrestling fan. Matches that sound good on paper and hope that they deliver out the pay-per-view. So I'm for it, man. I'm excited. I can't wait.
I'm excited to see how this turns out as well. I feel like they have some... It feels like there's something up their sleeve. I'm for excited to see what they have going. Just before we leave, I want to say hello to Mark Forbes, who was in the chat, and our boy, Wild Boy. Very good to see you again, my friend. It left a super chat as well. Says, happy birthday. Happy Saturday. Happy birthday. It's in February. What am I talking about?
It's someone's birthday today.
It is someone's birthday. Correct. He says, happy Saturday, everyone. Much love to the good brother, Mr. Warren Hayes. Thank you so much, man. It's good to see you. And it was good to have you, Vince, on the show today. Let all of the people know where they can find you, where they can find your work, locate you, pinpoint you, maybe on Google Maps?
Maybe not that. We'd have to get a little bit more comfortable to know my Google Maps location, but you can always find me on Twitter at SCSVince. All my social media, just search up SCS Vince. You'll be able to find me. I work with SmackDown Podcast. Like I said, we go ahead and do weekly recaps of all the pay-per-views, all the weekly shows. We do predictions. And like I said, I'm the NXT guy. So if you want to see me specifically, tune in for our NXT recaps, SmackDown Podcast on YouTube, and then Linktree/SmackDown Podcast again. Also, if you enjoy it, consider joining our Patreon. We have a Patreon/SmackDown Podcast. Support the show. We have $1, $5, $10, and $25 tier. You can get stickers. We have stickers. One of them's holographic, so I think that's really cool. That's basically the wrestling content at SmackDown Pod everywhere on Twitter at SCS Vince. And if you like some basketball talk, I do a side little project where I talk basketball. So I'll have that going over there. It's called Straight Talk Podcast. And again, just search up SCS Vince on Spotify or whatever. So you'll be able to find any of my work. Just search up SCS Vince.
SCS Vince. It's in the lower third anyway. People will be able to locate it. And I'll put that in the description as well. Why? Because I'm a good guy. That's
why. You're the best.
No, you're the best, Vince. I'm really, we've been talking about this for a while. I'm glad it finally congealed and we were able to talk. I'm very happy that you accepted the information.
You did send me information that I accepted via email. So that's still correct.
I don't know how my brain works sometimes, but hey, you know what? Thank you, Vince. I really appreciate it. This was a fun chat. I appreciate it. And thank you, everyone, for joining us live here this morning or whenever you decide to listen to this. I hope you enjoy Payback, that you have a good WWE pay-per-view weekend. We'll see you next time.